Hey folks, and welcome to Dungeon Casters, the Dungeon Master Advice Show for Rookie DMs by Rookie DMs.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Scott.
And we're here to help you lift your campaign
right out of your back pocket.
Hey, those guys stole my podcast.
This week on Dungeon Casters, we're going to be talking about rogues.
Yeah, I feel like you this was your Christmas.
This oh my god, I'm so happy.
All year. You've been so good. Or bad, I guess, you know, you've been waiting for this.
I've been waiting so long, because the first point I want to make, like most of our mini-sodes, we are going to start with basic functionality, and the first point I want to make for the basic functionality of rogues is that they're the best class ever, and no one needs to play anything else ever, they're the best.
I guess that's it, huh? Just okay. All right, everybody. This has been the miniest mini episode. They're perfect. Just play them exclusively. It's Scott Whitwer approved.
Oh man, I love rogues. Ben, you just used my last name.
Should I not?
No, it's fine. But now everyone knows who I am. They're gonna find me on the internet, and murder me.
Yeah, it's very roguish.
Yeah, well. Okay, so. In all seriousness, with rogues, the first thing to keep in mind is they are skirmisher fighters. They are in and out of the fray. Whether that means they are a melee combatant or a ranged combatant, they are, you know, popping in and out, doing their sneak attack when they can to get that extra damage bump, but they're all about combat mobility.
Motels. Combat motels.
Combat motels.
You have more experience with this obviously than I do. Do their health points stack up enough that you can take hits? Because their hit die aren't bad. I don't have a sense of how often they get hit and how often they can really take a hard hit when they do.
Well, see, and that's the thing about rogues is you can really wade into combat with them, because most people when they build rogues are like, when you're building a, you know, standard rogue, dexterity is your go-to stat, so yeah. That gives you that armor class bump, because you are using light armor plus your dexterity, and then, although you have a low constitution traditionally as a rogue, you still have a d8 hit die, so you don't get hit a lot, and when you do, you have enough that you can, like, shrug it off and keep going.
Yeah, I suppose, and I suppose that constitution... as a dump stat, is like you said, it traditionally is, makes it so you don't get a lot of health points necessarily per level, you know.
No.
You don't have a huge plus on whatever you get, you know, it's maybe a plus one, so you could end up with 2 hit points over and over and over again if you're not careful.
Well, I mean, you have a very specific story about a rogue in a campaign, not one that I played.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Should we save that, or should that be for today?
That's for right now, I think.
That's for right now. Yeah, I guess to this point, a friend of ours in the campaign that I was running that for right now actually has sort of stalled as we make a new campaign, since I moved and people are moving and it made sense to kind of start from scratch. One of our players made a rogue who just got unlucky. I mean, it's really like no more than that in a lot of ways. He rolled his hit die per level for his new health bump, as most of us do. He elected not to take the, what is it? You can take like 5 instead of a random number.
You can take the median option instead of rolling the die.
On the hope that he would get like an 8 or a 7 or something high, but I don't even know what he rolled, but he rolled so low every single time that at like level 4 he had like 9 hit points. I mean, it was like outrageous. I mean, if he got touched, it was over.
I know he had a negative modifier, -1 to his constitution, and he rolled a 2 on 2 levels. So he got 1 hit point on 2 of the levels.
Right. So it is not that this is exclusive to the rogues. But because constitution doesn't come up a lot as a main stat for actually a lot of classes, but for rogues in particular, when you're wading into combat and you have to rely on that dexterity, just be aware that that health pool, if it's small, that will not fly at higher levels.
Yeah, that gets burned up real quick.
He got lucky when it came to not getting hit, but it was nothing short of luck. If
he
got
real.
Hit, once, it was over. By like a level one enemy, it was over.
Yeah.
So something to keep in mind. They're skill jockeys. I don't think this is surprising to anybody, and I think that this is sort of one of the things they've been for a long, long time.
Yes.
They get a shitload when they had skill points, they got a shitload of them. Mm-hmm. And now that it's more you pick proficiencies in skills, they get the most picks from the largest grouping. So if you're somebody who enjoys using skills and having a lot of skills and having an answer for many situations in a skill-based kind of way, a rogue's a great way to go. They just have, I think, the most options in that particular field.
Yeah, I agree, and that's one of my favorite things about the rogues is being able to be the kind of out-of-combat Mr. Fix-It, in the sense that, like, oh, here's some mundane obstacle blocking our way, and, like, I mean, yeah, the fighter can beat it down or the wizard can blast it away, but the rogue... Sometimes. But the rogue is the one who can, like, easily and without a lot of effort deal with that obstacle in your path and keep the party moving and not have those obstacles be a big slowdown.
I think, like you said, there's solutions to problems that a wizard and a fighter can do, and not that this is true all the time, but the rogue has that quiet option usually on lock,
yes,
which is sometimes a more helpful option. And I think in terms of tone, if you're interested in rogues, you know, oftentimes, I mean, the word rogue, it's charged. It's both like a job and a social connotation. Somebody who operates outside the society as a whole, or just a specific society, they're an individualist. That's why traditionally they're out for themselves. They're treasure seekers. They're kind of selfish. They're sometimes assassins, you know, a little on the heartless seems harsh, but they can tread into that territory.
Yeah, it depends on how you're playing it.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that individualist idea, although that's like kind of the traditional ideal with a rogue, 5e has broken that down. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later when I talk about sneak attack and stuff like that. But it's very party necessary. It's very synergy based as a lot of the rogue's combat abilities. So it's the kind of thing where you can't be that individualist. You can't, you know, sneak off and go off on your own and figure like, oh, I'll just hide and like sneak attack everything and be okay. Like that might work in certain games or certain editions. Cause I know I pulled that shit in 3.5 at least once.
Yep. Oh yeah.
But like it's not a part of that anymore, which is nice. The one thing I did want to mention before we get into Ben and Scott's wacky customizing ideas is, the big thing with, you know, rogues and combat using cunning action is the most important thing that a lot of people don't do, because it gives you disengage as a bonus action in 5e. Yeah. You can split your movement on either side of your attack. So you can move in, attack, disengage, move out in a turn, never getting an attack of opportunity, keeping your distance from your enemies, and that's how you play that skirmisher kind of move-in, move-out character.
It's hugely important. Whenever you've talked to me about disengage, you have sold it to me as possibly the most useful ability in the whole game.
I mean, I might overstate it a bit, but I love it. I think it's really, really great.
Yeah, I think it's up there. I think that ability to get in and get out without evoking that opportunity attack is huge. It's huge.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I'm going to get into it more later in a little bit after we start talking about customizing. But
sure.
Yeah, the rogue as a class is a good party supplement class. So, like, you know, your standard adventuring party does not necessarily need a rogue. I know, like, the quintessential D&D party involves one, but, like, you think about it, you need a strong person to fight, you need a wise person to heal, and you need a smart person to like magic, but like
yeah.
Those are like the three big ones. The rogue is kind of filling in all the gaps that those people have.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of I sense a theme. We bring this point up, I think, with a lot of classes. I think the rogue is maybe a more stable sort of hardy cock, as it were, you know?
Yes.
But they do still kind of fall into that where, because they do a lot and they're kind of like bards without like necessarily the magic component to them, where they can do a lot of things. But I see what you're saying. The party wouldn't be sort of screwed without one as like a healer. Like no one ever wants to play it, and everyone's always like, shit, what do we do? No one can bring us back, you know?
Exactly.
Or like we have nobody on the front line. We just have a bunch of weedy spellcasters who cannot take a hit. You know, it's like, what do we do? You know,
yeah.
It's like not having a rogue is like, well, I guess we're not taking the quiet route. We're just taking the loud one. You know,
it's, or like, I guess we're not going to figure out any of these puzzles, disarm these traps, or open these locks. Yeah. We're just going to break everything and hope we don't die on the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's essentially like when it boils down, a rogue is a bard, but you replace that magic and music with stealth and cunning.
Yeah, yeah, it's just mundane sort of skill versions. It's a lot of mundane utility, but that comes to the same sort of head
as
a bard.
Which I like. I like playing the mundane character in a magical world. I like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the idea of using your own talents and your own learned abilities to surpass those who have a, like, natural magic gift to help them.
I think that's fair to say. I think that brings a lot of fun conflict to a game as a player.
Yeah.
So let's get into some of the customization options. The first one, you don't have to be a criminal.
What?
I know.
No.
I know.
You can't do that.
No, you can, though. You can actually do that. You're not bound as a criminal. And I think that there's a lot of, like, leading imagery in the player's handbook, given that, like, the picture of a rogue is, like, it's like a leather-clad mummy lady, like, skulking in a shadow, you know? I mean, it brings a certain sort of person to mind. But again, because it really just means somebody who's not operating exactly within the confines of society or an organization, doesn't necessarily make them a criminal. You know, you think of, like, if you're a rogue, but you're, like, just diverting from a specific organization, you can still sort of have that role. And not be a major sort of thorn to the law as a whole or an entire city as a whole. You're just sort of a rogue in comparison to some subset. Or you're just, you know, like you're just more freewheeling. You know, you have that bardic inclination and you're just kind of a roamer. You're not criminal. You're just not really, I don't know, confined by certain moral or ethical standards in the same way.
Even, or like, you just use the abilities that you have at your disposal. So, like, you happen to be dexterous as opposed to strong, so you use that in combat. You happen to be cunning instead of magical, so you use that. So it's the kind of thing where, you know, it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm a thief, I steal from people. It can just be like, no, this is just kind of my aesthetic.
This is just the way I operate on a, on a mundane level. It's like I just use sort of, like you said, cleverness.
Yeah. And
it's like, the rogue just will let you do that very effectively. You're a fast learner. You know, that's your thing.
Yeah.
And
second.
So tell me about sneak attack.
So what I have written in our notes here is sneak attack does not mean stealth anymore. And so. Right.
This took me forever to get my head around. You explained this to me for like 2 hours, and I was like, But you're sneaking. you have to be stealthy.
They should have changed the name when they changed the way it functions. But, like, then again, I do get it. Because it's not sneak attack in the sense of I am jumping from the shadows or, like, sniping from a tree blind or something like that. It's a matter of a cheap shot. And so, the big thing with sneak attack, the time you get sneak attack most often is when an enemy of your enemy is within 5 feet of them.
An enemy of, so a friend.
So, that's the thing, is it's not necessarily an ally, because if you have three groups of people. Yeah, get it? So it's really fucking confusing. But the because like no one ever does three-way combats, not that you can't, just it's just too much to deal with when you have two separate parties to control as a DM. But like it's the idea is one of your friends is engaged with that enemy. So they are currently focusing, like, your fighter's right up in that orc's face, punching him in the face. So that orc is focusing on the fighter, which allows you as a rogue, even if the orc knows you're standing next to him, because that orc is concentrating on the fighter, you can slip a dagger in between his ribs from behind because he's concentrating elsewhere. He's distracted. Yeah. And that's where it comes from.
It's a little more lenient. I suppose it has more to do with, like, it's assumed as long as your opponent's attention is diverted enough.
Exactly.
You can be there, it's just about they didn't expect that particular hit.
And so the other thing, and it's like, if you have advantage, you can do it. So, like, the kind of thing where, like, oh, I am in an advantageous position, so I can, you know, really hit him hard this time. It's the same thing. It's that sneak attack. It's not like I'm literally hidden and no one sees me and I attack them. It's just like I'm going for a cheap shot because I see an opening and I'm going to use it.
Right. So there's also, I think, an inclination to because isn't thief like one of the archetypes you can choose? Like it's that phrase, like thief.
Thief is one of the archetypes, but that's the thing is it's one of the archetypes. It's not the only one, but I understand what you're going to say.
Right. And I think that because it's there and because that term is so loaded and because everyone's like, I get it. That's what it is. You steal things. You are a thief. I think the option to be more of a con, somebody who uses charisma as opposed to dexterity to kind of wheedle money out of people or objects. You know, what is the word I'm looking for? It's not risque, but a traitor who is dubious, I suppose, who engages in dubious activities and sells fake objects or even as something like, you know, you play five card Monty in the street.
Yeah.
And you're stealing all the same. You've rigged the game.
You're a charlatan.
You're a charlatan or a casino owner.
Yeah, well, fair. You might be a legal businessman, depending on the laws and rules of the realm.
Right there. You're not a criminal. You're legally a business. You own a business. It's just a casino, and it's, like, totally fucking rigged.
You have the paperwork and everything.
You've got the paperwork and everything. So there's that. Now, for me, I think one of the most exciting things about a rogue, well, this is maybe the second most exciting thing, is their predilection for, political campaigns. I think that the diversity available to a rogue within a campaign that's operating in a political sphere is huge. Probably where they have the most room, and in a campaign like that, probably top two classes that would just thrive. Just thrive.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I mean, like, it's the kind of thing where, you know, you have your bards and they're the good talk. They're better, you know, speakers than the rogues, but the rogues are able to get that background information. They're the ones who are able to sneak into the other politician's office when he's not looking, read his reports, and then make a snide comment at it at the big fancy dinner that night and throw him off guard.
Yeah. They make terrific spies. You know, you don't even have to necessarily engage in assassination. It's just reconnaissance. Like that's your spy job. Reconnaissance, information theft, and you know, or in the con field, you take a more diplomatic position. But your job is to pull sensitive information out of a nation's enemy or something like that. And it's you're stealing. You're just doing it through charisma. And while I agree with you, I think the bard is maybe better suited in a lot of ways. They have a lot of advantages when it comes to conversation. I think the rogue can still say, like, I want to have a high charisma, and you can still have that great speaker option. And I think there's probably a background or two you could take to boost that up to.
Definitely.
You know, and even if you wanted to play a politician, you could do a rogue very easily.
Yeah.
For the same reasons.
I think you're 100% right. One of the other, like, non-criminal, a little less grand than the idea of a politician, is, like, a messenger. Like, Pony Express-style messenger, yeah. Or, like, yeah. New York City bike messenger style, or, mm-hmm. like, parkour messenger, or whatever you want to do. Like, that's a really good, you know, career that uses rogue abilities without breaking the law, without doing any of that thieving stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually, in a campaign I ran back when I went to college, one of my players was a rogue, and him and his friend, when they were growing up, they were street urchins, and they had to steal to survive, that same old story that you hear a lot of, you know, rogues doing. But the way he changed it was, as they got older, they opened up a, like, pseudo-orphanage where they take in all those, like, pickpocket street urchins, teach them how to be messengers, and, like, they were a trusted messenger service across the city they lived in. And they traded messages, and, like, they gave these kids a home, an education, a support system, and, like, a salary. And, right. You know, it's kind of that thief with a heart of gold thing.
You took the words right out of my mouth, yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It worked really well. His backstory got a little darker later, and to ruin it for y'all, no one survived except for him. So a lot of children got killed in his backstory. Oh, but like I said, like, that quintessential street urchin stealing to survive rogue backstory, also everyone's dead, my dark past rogue backstory, combined into one. It's both right. of the two big rogue backstories.
Right. I think, too, in the same sort of vein of a lesser deceiver or sort of lesser... I don't know, it's not lesser necessarily, but I think that if you wanted to play... If there was a reason to play something like an actor in a campaign, a rogue would be a great option. Partially because they get a lot of skills, and just being able to, like, do a lot of stuff effectively. And... it means that you could be any person convincingly enough. And I'm talking yes. about actors, like, if there was a reason to be on a stage, but also, again, going back to sort of a diplomat thing, like, if there's a reason that your rogue has to be somebody else, you need a character who can step into somebody else's shoes, and you don't have a bard who has, you know, certain charms and illusions and things like that, but you have a rogue, you still have access to that kind of thing where, because they can do so much, because they're so versatile, and because they can get in and out of places very quickly and change, and they have the ability to at least pretend to be like any other class yeah. or any other person.
And
it's a strong standpoint to have as a character.
Certainly, and I mean, they literally get a false identity with I think it's the level 9 ability for the assassin subclass of rogue. Is, like, you have a full fake identity in the sense of, like, you have land, titles, deeds, relationships,
yeah.
business ventures, like...
That's ridiculous.
It's, like, the equivalent of having, like, social security card, driver's license, passport, and birth yeah. certificate today. Yeah. You have it yeah. all for this person. This person literally exists, but they're not real. So,
that'd
like...
That'd be a cool backstory as a rogue. You make fake documents.
Yeah, that would be...
You just make, like, fake credentials. That would be really cool.
Just being, like... Because that's the thing, is, like, you can get specific with what kind of thief you are if you're going to be a thief. Like, being a forger is very, very different than being, like, a second-story work person or being, yeah. like, a mugger.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about some of the other sort of archetypes and things that are...
The other standard one, we talked about the thief, we talked about the assassin. They're relatively self-explanatory. They're exactly yeah. what you think they sound like. Yeah. The third one, and the one I've played the least and I am most excited about, like, I'm happiest it exists, is the arcane trickster. Yeah. Because when people think of rogues, thief, assassin are the two first things that come to their mind. Arcane trickster makes it a little different. It's not that typical rogue. It's not that standard, like, either dark and assassin or goofy, cheerful, and thief. It's, like, not that usual. It's a little bit of both, but also, like, you're a wizard and you just happen to, like, be a little, I don't know, pranky?
Yeah, prankster is the word I was thinking of.
Yeah, because, like, you have it like the mage hand ledger main allows you to use your mage hand really, really well. Like, you can pick people's pockets, you can pick locks, it's invisible, so it allows you to change the tide of the world, similar to like a fighter battle master class, where you can kind of alter the flow of battle. You can do the same thing as the arcade trickster.
Yeah. And what about, I mean, can you do like a battle master kind of thing as a rogue too?
There is an Earth Arcana, the Mastermind one, which allows you to aid from 30 feet away. So you can give people advantage on rolls from 30 feet away, which normally you have to be standing next to them to do that. So that's super dope. But the rogue is more of an opportunist in combat, in the sense of their allies open up opportunities and they take them. So, like, the fighter jumps into combat and then the rogue jumps on that opportunity.
Got it. All right. So, you have, like, I think, too, that there's, because I think the rogue, like, some other classes we've talked about, they don't necessarily, some other classes come with, like, a job title in the description. Like, a cleric, like, that's a job title, sort of. And, like, a druid is kind of a job title. Bard is kind of a job title. The rogue is more kind of like the fighter almost. It's more representative of like a lifestyle.
Yes.
So you have some room there to make up what kind of profession or some sort of analogy to that, something analogous to that. So, you know, I was thinking we'd not to jump into the section about like who, but something like somebody owns like a joke shop. You know, like almost like the Weasley brothers from Harry Potter, you know, you have that option. Like, and that goes well with that arcane trickster prankster sort of thing where they, like, yeah, I mean, if this person has this ability, I think this is kind of fun. They want to spread this a little bit. They're fairly happy-go-lucky. They're lighthearted and they need money. You know, they're selling honestly, but they're selling pranks, which sort of still is subversive and kind of obnoxious. And
like, being a traveling joke shop merchant in while existing in an adventuring party would be a really fun character to play. Because, like, really every time you stop in a town, you unload your cart and all the kids come and they're like, what pranks do you got for us, mister?
Yeah, and it's like, a gun. It's like, that's not a prank.
Or it is.
Or it is, and it shoots water.
Oh, hey!
Yeah.
Got him.
I know, yeah, I tricked you just now. You thought I was going to say a real gun. The water gun. Scott, be careful. That's not nice.
Yeah. Well, speaking of tricks, another very similar idea is David Blaine being a close-up magician. Being a close-up magician as, like, an entertainer with your rogue, you know, sleight-of-hand abilities and your stealth abilities and the arcane tricksters, mage hand, ledger main, and stuff like that. Like, being a close-up magician is a total option. Every night
I'm
when
sorry,
you go to...
I'm sorry. I have this image in my head of, like, I'm Arthas the Paladin. Like I'm Trixo the Bard. And it's like, I'm David Blaine. It's just David Blaine. It's not adapted. It's not changed at all. It's just David fucking Blaine in your party. Like, treating it way too seriously because it's David Blaine. And it's like, you have to fight that dragon. He's like, I'm going to run salt water through my veins and I'm going to become a dolphin man for 7 hours. It's like, I guess, David. I guess.
With his gray t-shirt, bootcut jeans, and black baseball cap every single place.
Every single time. Anyway, sorry. That was a bit of a tangent.
No, that's fine.
What else we got?
You got the next one, man. This is you.
Excuse me? Okay. This one isn't going to be terribly surprising, but the options for a vigilante are obvious. They present themselves very quickly. You could probably do this with any class, really, but I think part of the part of a vigilante in that you're operating outside of a law. In this case, you really are a criminal character. But you don't have to be, and I think this is the important part, you don't have to be like a necessarily chaotic aligned rogue to do rogue stuff. You know, I think if you're a vigilante, depending on the context, you might actually be operating more firmly within the scope of the law than maybe the police force in whatever your DM's world is. If you have a police force that isn't operating honestly or well, or is skipping things over, and you're operating as a vigilante who is upholding what cannot be upholded for whatever reason by a larger force. Upheld by the police force at large, you might actually be a lawful good character.
You might actually be that,
and you might be a lawful good rogue, which sort of sounds like an oxymoron, but I don't think it has to be.
I don't. And, like, Pawn was a lawful good rogue.
That's true. That is actually true. I hadn't thought of that, but you're right.
He wasn't a... He was maybe neutral good, but he wasn't a vigilante. He just had the rogue abilities.
Yeah.
He just wanted everyone to be okay all the time. So, like, he just tried to be helpful and believed in right and wrong.
Right. And well, you had that swashbuckling kind of thing, which obviously a rogue would fit into very well.
There's actually a subclass for it.
Yeah, there is. So that's an option as well. That's that you would have found that anyway, but that is there. More classically speaking, Dungeon Delver.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like the idea of someone who plies that rogue trade in a city to steal, yes. But also, there are locked doors, there are traps, there are things to sneak around in every dungeon always. So, like, the idea of being like, oh no, I use my, you know, thief abilities to pillage dungeons instead of breaking into people's houses. It's like those people who, what are they called? Oh, archaeologists. But, like, the ones who go on, like, like, you know, but you know what I mean? Like, people who, you know, go on deep sea dives and, like, explore wrecks of old sunken ships or go to old ruins and look for artifacts to sell to museums or give to museums.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking now an interesting rogue for this might be somebody who doesn't, who sells their ability to, like, let's say they specialize in trap finding.
Yeah.
They sell their ability to adventuring parties for, like, X percent of the treasure within. And they say, like, well, look, like, this is my thing. Like, I'm really good at finding traps. I've specialized in this. I will make sure that no trap gets you in this place. But I need 20%, 25%, 30% of what you find in there. Or I leave you in there, and then I'll come back when you're dead and take it all.
And then there's the con, because your partner already went to that dungeon beforehand, took out all the traps. All the traps are gone.
Yeah, you fucking built that dungeon.
It's your house. The dungeon is your house.
It's just a cardboard maze in your house. So, I see we have here a nature rogue, and I'm very interested what you think that looks like.
So this is the thing, as we talked about with druids and rangers, the option for the urban druid and the urban ranger, which I think is a really cool option. Sure. The nature druid, or the nature rogue, is also an option, in the sense that, like, rogues are associated with cities. That's, you know, fair. That's fair. But, like, being stealthy, being a tracker, being a, you know, cunning and stuff like that, those are traits that help hunting, they help you survive in the wild.
Yeah.
So, like, you might not have the technical skills of an urban rogue. You might not be good at picking locks, or you might not be, you know, good at that kind of stuff, but you'd be good at tracking, perceiving, investigation, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think those skills, like insight and perception, would really show up. And then, you know, something with, like, the hermit background, which I don't think gets used all that much, would fit really well there. There's another one I was thinking of. It's not like an Outlander. I think
Outlander.
Might be another one. I think those would be cool additions. And then I'm always up for anything that gives you an opportunity to sort of change the aesthetic principles of a character. And so a rogue that lives out in nature isn't going to have that, like, leather, the cowl, the mask, you know, the boots, the knives, all that stuff. They might look much more like you'd perceive a druid to look, which is cool. I actually like that. I love whenever a player describes their character and it is assumed it will be like one thing, but it is actually a whole different class altogether. That's just taken an interesting turn.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I think of, like, a nature rogue and I'm thinking, like, you know, ghillie suits and, like, animal hides, moccasins that are, like, super soft doe skin so they don't make any noise at all instead of those leather boots with creaky buckles or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that, like, honestly, looking at the nature rogues' materials they would use to build their clothing and tools and stuff, they would probably be a lot stealthier than an urban rogue because, like, that leather armor, you have to oil... significantly for it not to creak and for the buckles not to jingle and all that stuff. So, like, if you don't have those, if everything's just, like, doe skin and rawhide, it's not going to make any noise.
Yeah. And so I think the last sort of just point to make here is, and maybe this should have been in basic functionality, but it is a customization option. It sort of sits in the middle there. Rogues are probably one of the most versatile and useful multi-class options in the game. If you want extra damage, you can go rogue. If you want more skills, you can go rogue. If you want a little bit of magic, you can go rogue. If you want more mundane ability, you can go rogue. If you want deception or insight, you can go rogue. They offer so much that it's so useful.
It is. It certainly is.
So useful. So we have a sort of challenge tonight. So, as you know, we sort of end every episode of these mini-sodes with a list of pop culture icons and other characters that we think represent traditional and unusual options for that class. Now, for various reasons, because of the variety of rogues you can make, and because Scott is... say enamored with the class and thinks everybody is essentially a rogue, the list we have here is enormous, and so it would be impractical to go over this whole list in any amount of detail. So what we're going to do is I'm going to shut up and Scott is going to say everything on this list as fast as he possibly can.
Okay, so
are you ready?
One quick thing is I want to open an invitation. If anyone hears a name on this list and they do not think it belongs in the rogue column, tweet at us because I will rebuke it. I will fight you tooth and nail on this shit. I will prove you wrong. I swear to God, I'm stubborn as hell.
This is the debate. This is just if you want Scott to tell you you're wrong, tweet at us.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, go for it, man.
All right. Black Widow, Sherlock Holmes, Irene Adler, Batman, Robin, Batgirl, Catwoman, The Joker, Han Solo, Columbo, and most other noir detectives. Elektra, Sombra from Overwatch, every Assassin's Creed character, Nathan Drake, and most other characters from Uncharted. All the characters in Ocean's 11, 12, and 13. All the characters in No Brother, Where Art Thou? Wily Kit and Wily Cat from The Thundercats. The Man in Black from The Princess Bride. James Bond, Corvo from Dishonored, who's a warlock multiclass. MacGyver, Legolas, Bilbo Baggins, Riddick, Snake Plissken, Solid Snake, just a snake, Jason Bourne, Mission Impossible Man, Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible, I forget his name, National Treasure Man, Nicolas Cage from National Treasure, I forget his name, Laura Croft, Joanne Dark, Jonathan from The Mummy, The Grinch, Corporal Nobby Knobs, Captain Sam Vines, Moist Von Lipwig, Houdini, Sam Fisher, Aladdin, Flynn Rider, Peter Quill, aka Star-Lord, Captain Jack Sparrow, Jack and the Beanstalk, Jack the Ripper, Carmen Sandiego, Garrett from the Thief series, Nami from One Piece, Sly Cooper, Zorro, Lupin the Third, Agent 47, Boba Fett, and Tom Sawyer.
Woo! Dude, that was great. You nailed it. That was amazing. I cannot believe you did not stumble.
Oh, that man. One take. Hell yeah. Okay.
So good. Okay. So if you have any inclination to be yelled at on Twitter, you can tweet at us at dungeon_casters. Or if you want to get yelled at over email, you can email us at dungeoncasterspodcast@gmail.com.
I mean, I'm not gonna, like, be mean, I'm just gonna argue, I'm gonna defend my opinions, right. But also, if you just want to talk rogues in general, or if you have any questions on building, we're getting close to the end of all of our mini-sodes on character classes, and I want to open this, kind of invitation with our email, dungeoncasterspodcast@gmail.com. If you have character woes, if you have, you're working on a character build, you want some help building it, or anything like that, hit us up, we'll get back to you, and we can 100% help you build the exact character you want.
Yeah, we like doing it. And don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. Search Dungeon Space Casters under the podcast tab.
Hey, Ben.
Yes, Scott.
Hey, Ben.
Yes, Scott.
Hey, Ben.
Yes, Scotty.
Hey, Ben.
Yes.
Hey, Ben.
Scott, oh my god, what? Just tell me.
I don't have a thief joke. I like rogues too much. I don't have a joke.
Oh. Ow.
Oh, man. Yeah, sorry. Don't have a joke this week. I totally forgot. Damn, I know. Sorry.
In this podcast, we used Achilles and News Sting by Kevin MacLeod of Accompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons.